Next guest is, man, you talk about a guy who has the pulse and the finger on the Atlanta sports scene and the Atlanta soccer scene and Atlanta United. He is Jason Longshore. He joins us now. He is the color analyst on 92.9 The Game that covers Atlanta United. Also, you know him from the podcast Soccer Down Here. Jason, thank you so much for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
Well, you know what I love about Atlanta? I look at one of the articles recently, and it's Atlanta United struggles in new formation. You guys got some differing things going on down there from a healthy pressure perspective based on all this amazing success that has occurred in 2 years. So let's talk about healthy pressure and how this Atlanta fan base, who has been treated to some incredible soccer under Tata Martino and an MLS championship, are now dealing with a new manager who's trying to put a differing type of team together.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time watching all of this play out. I mean, it started with Frank DeBoer being appointed in December, and then the Miguel Almiron transfer saga that was on again, off again, on again, off again, and then it gets done. Pity Martinez comes in. A few weeks later, you have CONCACAF Champions League. Get off to a slow start in the league, and there is that healthy pressure. And I'm with you. I do think it's healthy in the long run. I think it's a very important part of the discussion around this league at times is Atlanta has been, witness to success pretty much since they moved into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You know, the beginning of 2017, you're a new team. You have some ups and downs, but since that great run at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the end of 17 and then last year going on to win MLS Cup, there's been a lot of good times. And now this is the first time in the club's history that there's been some adversity.
So let's talk a little bit about Frank DeBoer. Do you feel he was as prepared as he should be coming into Major League Soccer? Because I've heard that brought up a number of times. He doesn't look very happy personally all the time, but maybe he is. But he looks very serious. But how about shedding a little light on DeBoer, the person, because I know you've been around him a little bit. And then do you think he came into this league as prepared as maybe he should have?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he's had some kind of underrated things that have been difficult for him to deal with. And the one that he's mentioned multiple times is losing Franco Escobar on the first day of preseason training. Day one, Escobar breaks his collarbone, and he is not back to 90 minutes fit yet. Frank mentioned it around the time of the Monterrey series in CONCACAF Champions League that he went to 3 in the back because of that injury. And he had told us on day one of training camp before the injury that he was, a 4-3-3 guy. He wasn't definitely committed to it, but that was what he had in mind. That went out the window day one. He didn't feel like he had a direct replacement at right back for Escobar. Julian Gressel's a player who's played at right wing back. He'd only started one game as a right back in a 4-man back line. And you could tell that DeBoer early on was very, very concerned about the defense. And honestly, that's not that big of a change from Tata Martino, because if you go back to 2017, Atlanta United played a very high energy pressing system, 4-2-3-1 almost exclusively. But in that little bit of training that he was able to do after the 2017 season ended in the playoffs, they worked on 3 in the back. And last year went to it, went away from it, went back to it, and then went more defensive with it in the postseason. And it was 3 in the back where Atlanta had the most success. So playing 3 in the back under Frank DeBoer wasn't really a shock. I think what threw him maybe was just that fact that he came in, all that that prep coming in and getting to know these guys. I think his idea was 4-3-3, and that had to change day one.
I think it's been fascinating. I want to just simplify this and see what you think about this. Obviously, we know how important Miguel Almiron was to this team. Just how he unbalanced opponents, the pace of this team on the counterattack led by him a lot of times, his relationship with creating space and pulling people off of Josef Martinez. Is a part of the big issue here the fact that you're losing that type of a high-flying attacking guy that runs at people and changing to a player like Pity Martinez, who's probably more of a traditional 10, who gets the ball at his feet, creates space for himself, makes things happen in a very differing way. I mean, do people realize how different a player he is than Miguel Almiron was?
I think they're starting to. I think Pity Martinez coming in really with no offseason, you know, with the Copa Libertadores and all of that drama that ends up being played out in Madrid and then the Club World Cup. Pity came in and it's taken him some time. He hasn't fully just acclimated yet to the team and to the league. I honestly think he's probably better suited out wide, almost like a Nacho Piatti type of that creative player, but in a wide position where he can cut in. I think Ezequiel Barco is now showing that he can play the number 10 role, but he plays it very differently than Miguel Almiron. I think that's another element that people maybe aren't being fair with Frank de Boer about, is that this team last year was a possession-oriented team, but it was very deep possession. It was all based around getting a team stretched out and getting Miguel out in open space. You don't have a direct replacement for Miguel Almiron, so you have to move things around differently. You have to move the chess pieces around differently. And this is a team now that wants to dominate possession, but wants to do it in the opposition's half. And what opponents are doing, and especially at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is playing in a very low block with four or five across the back line and three or four midfielders in front. And Atlanta's having problems breaking that down.
And there's more of that to come, as you and I know.
Of course.
No question. You know, I'm looking at this Atlanta Journal-Constitution headline, Atlanta United struggles in new formation. And then, you know, I've looked at the article and I'm saying to myself, God, we want some of that in Houston. We don't have any of this. We don't have anybody breaking a game down. We don't have it. I think this is a wonderful problem you have in Atlanta. And I think there's franchises and clubs all over MLS who wish they had this problem, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think right now for people who are, you know, in it, yeah, they're stressed because fans are frustrated. Fans are upset. This is a club that has come in and had, you know, unprecedented success in Atlanta sports, let alone soccer. It's a big deal, and this is a club that expects to be competing for trophies every year. Right now, they're not looking that way, but you have Doug Robertson at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution writing about it and keeping everyone informed. You have Felipe Cardenas at the Athletic, one of their top writers, really giving a lot of insight on some of the players, like a Joseph Martinez.
Jason Longshore talking about it on the radio constantly and writing about it.
Well, you know, there's that too. Yes.
Yeah, let's give you some props here too.
Doing 10 hours of podcast a week as well. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. And in some ways, it's very exciting with all of these different new things happening to talk about the philosophy. And, I mean, we had a great conversation on SDH today about what is good soccer to you? You know, what are you looking for out of your team? Is it, you know, attacking, exciting soccer and results are secondary? Is it win at all costs, whatever it takes to win? Is it playing young players who come through the club? What is it? And a lot of different answers. It was really intriguing.
Yeah, and I'm sure you got just win. That one always gets in there.
It's, you got
to some
of that
people,
for sure.
It's just about winning. But listen, stylistically and from a purpose of play perspective, I mean, that was a big deal to Atlanta United when they put this team together under Tata Martino, right?
Of course. And I think when you look at the move that Tata Martino made that I don't think was talked about enough nationally going into the postseason after that loss in Toronto on decision day where the supporters' shield slipped away, this team played completely differently in the postseason than they had played for the two seasons prior to that. It was defensive. It was numbers behind the ball. It was completely on the counter. You know, no press, no high pressure, none of that. It was sit back, get numbers back, Miguel Almiron playing as a second forward as opposed to a 10, and it was effective. It was a masterstroke by Tata Martino, but that sums it up. It's back to now, it's win at all costs. Now, everything was signed really easily for him at that point. He'd already decided to move on. Mexico hadn't been announced yet, but it was all but assured. Miguel Almiron, it was pretty clear that it was going to be his last season in Atlanta. So you wanted to go out with a trophy, so you're going to do whatever it takes to get there. Now you're in, you know, game 7 coming up of a 34-game season. You're not at that stage, but you're getting close with the results right now. The Eastern Conference is kind of crazy, but Atlanta United's, you know, out of the playoff spot right now, and that's not something that's going over very well here.
When we talk about the fans, do you think they're going to get it? Do you think they understand this is a different manager trying to implement a different system, learn a new league, try to fit Pity Martinez and Ezequiel Barco in the same team? I mean, do they get that stuff, or is it just such a romanticism with, you know, what happened last year and Tata Martino? Are they giving DeBoer a chance, is what I'm saying?
It's interesting because I think there are fans who are, and I think there are fans who are fans of the Premier League and watched what happened at Crystal Palace, and that still lingers for some people. I think it's unfair. I don't think you can compare what happened at Crystal Palace and Inter Milan to what's happening here in Atlanta. And I also don't think it's fair to say that this team hasn't been getting better. 21 shots on goal in the last three matches compared with 8 in the first three. I mean, you're seeing a team that feels like it is getting closer. The Dallas match was very disappointing because of the early goal conceded, and it felt like all of that work and that progress with things moving in the right direction is kind of undermined by that early goal. I think there's a lot of fans who are new to the game and new to following a team in their local market on a daily basis, and all of this daily conversation is really good, and I think it is educational, and I think it will have a great effect in the long term. But yeah, there's a lot of consternation right now, and you know, I get it. This team's had success from day one. Right now it doesn't. This is new.
Yeah, and guess what? You guys get covered every day. You are in the news because of all of this, and you are relevant, and that's what makes it exciting in Atlanta, and that's what makes it a great storyline, and that's why I want to continue to watch Atlanta United on the weekends, because I want to see if Frank DeBoer is going to turn this thing around. Jason Longshore, you are the best. Thank you for coming on. You can catch him on 92.9 The Game. He's the color analyst on Atlanta United games. Soccer Down Here, the podcast, and great insight. We thank you so much for shedding light on Atlanta United to us here in Houston.
Anytime, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Jason Longshore. Great stuff there.